540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Special Report. A judge in New York has agreed to postpone Donald Trump's sentencing in his hush money case until November 26th. CBS's Finn Gomez says this is good news for the former president.
It's a big victory. It's after the election, right? There's not that distraction of that, if you will, politically for his supporters and for those he's trying to appeal to.
Former federal prosecutor Lori Levinson says this may also be good news for the prosecution.
That gives them time to respond in detail to the defendant's claims that some of these charges against Trump need to be dropped because after the Supreme Court's ruling, he is immune. And this is going to be a careful examination by the New York judge to decide whether the jury's verdict can go forth into sentencing, notwithstanding the Supreme Court's decision.
The Supreme Court earlier ruled that presidents have immunity for official acts while in office. CBS News Special Report. I'm Linda Kenyon.
540 AM WAUK News is brought to you by the new Hop and Shop at 1505 East Racine Avenue inside the Phillips 66 in Waukesha.
Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Democratic vice presidential nominee Tim Walz tells Civic Media's Chad Holmes there's more that unites Americans than divides.
I just reject this notion that there's two Americas, whether it's red or blue, or there's two Americas, urban and rural. This country has been strong because of both.
Walz says he won six terms in a Republican-leaning U.S. House district by making compromises without compromising his principles. Wisconsin is making it easier for low-income students to get their driver's licenses. The program aims to reduce barriers and curb reckless driving. The Department of Transportation's new grant program covers 30 hours worth of classroom time, 6 hours of observation, and 6 hours of on-the-road instruction. The grants will be awarded on a first-come, first-served basis. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WAUK News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. A Milwaukee judge sentenced Daryl Brooks to 9 years in prison for an assault on the mother of his children. That happened shortly before his deadly attack at the Waukesha Christmas Parade. Investigators confirm that Brooks used the same red SUV in both incidents, linking the two crimes. Brooks is already serving six consecutive life terms for the six lives he took during the Christmas Parade attack. The temps aren't the best for a dip in the lake, and that's probably for the best. A beach hazards statement remains in effect for Lake Michigan beaches from the state line north to Sheboygan. Today is the deadline for those looking to give feedback about the future of Waukesha. The city of Waukesha is rewriting its zoning code for the first time since 2001. They're aiming to modernize regulations. There's a survey on the city's website that closes today asking people their thoughts. And that's what you need to know. I'm Stuart J. Waddles, WAUK News.
The NFL season is underway. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cuska with sports, filling in for Mike Clemens. Last night, the Kansas City Chiefs defeated the Baltimore Ravens 27-20. Tonight, it'll be the Green Bay Packers taking on the Philadelphia Eagles in Brazil to open up the Packers campaign. Head coach Matt LaFleur is excited to get started.
I think our guys are truly excited. There's been a lot of work that's been put in from the end of last season to now. I think they are excited about the opportunity to go out there and compete, you know, in front of the world.
Kickoff tonight is after 7 p.m. You can hear the game on WRJN in southeastern Wisconsin, WRCO in southwestern Wisconsin, and WCQM in northern Wisconsin. Today is the start of a three-game homestand for the Brewers as they take on the Colorado Rockies. Milwaukee leads the NL Central by 9 games over the Chicago Cubs entering play today. The Brewers have lost 3 of their last 4 games, all of them in extra innings. And tonight is the third week of high school football in Wisconsin. Check your local Civic Media station for matchups. Filling in for Mike Clemens, I'm Jimmy Cuska with Civic Media Sports.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
It is going to feel a little like fall here for a couple of days. Today, partly cloudy with a high in the mid-60s this afternoon. Tonight, mostly clear. We're going to drop down into the upper 30s to low 40s. Tomorrow, sunshine, mid to upper 60s, and then mostly sunny. Back to the mid to upper 70s by Sunday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temp, 62.
in a hurry, pop in at Hop and Shop at 1505 East Racine Avenue inside the Phillips 66 gas station in Waukesha, where you'll find gas, coffee, soda, snacks, and even alcohol, and serving food from 6 a.m. to 9 p.m. Enjoy a breakfast burrito or biscuit sandwich. How about a delicious Hunt Brothers pizza or juicy Cooper's Express fried chicken? Chicken sandwich with pepper gravy? Wings, tenders, fish, or shrimp with all your favorite sides? Stop in or order ahead at 262-933-4747. Hop and Shop in Waukesha.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time as we welcome former State Senate Majority Leader Democrat Tim Cullen to the program to talk about his new book and great foundation helping Wisconsinites. Be here.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK, Waukesha's home for Matt Nair on Air.
The Maggie Dawn Show on the broadcast stations of Civic Media. It is Friday, September 6th, 2024. Thank you for joining me on this special broadcast of The Maggie Dawn Show. My name is Jim Santel. I am sitting in for Maggie today on a day that turns out to be significant again in the history of our nation. We're going to talk about some of the late breaking news coming out of places to the east, in particular New York City and Washington, D.C. This is once again the Maggie Dawn Show. I am joined in the broadcast stations of Civic Media with my wonderful producer, Jess. And together, in addition to talking about things that are animating our lives and our livelihoods here in Wisconsin and beyond, we're also going to be soliciting and encouraging your inquiries and your questions, your comments, your perspectives about things that are on our docket this afternoon, and we have a full docket for you today. The phone number is 855-752-4842. That phone number, once again, is 855-752-4842. Jess always reminds me appropriately that you can call, you can text, you can drop a note into the Civic Media app and be in touch with us. Be a part of our discussion this afternoon on the Maggie Dawn Show, thanking Maggie Dawn, thanking Jess, thanking the leadership and management of Civic Media for this opportunity to come into your lives on this Friday afternoon, talking about those important issues in our lives this day and all days, as it turns out, in this important time of our American history. Let's get right to that. Let's talk about some of the late-breaking news just within the past couple of hours coming out of Manhattan. And then if you go back just a little bit further, maybe about 20 hours or so, some of the news coming out of a courtroom in Washington, D.C. We're going to talk about both of those. And yes, both of them are related to pending criminal cases involving a former president. His name is Donald Trump. And a present candidate for the presidency, yes, that is Donald Trump as well. As you know, he is facing criminal prosecution in no fewer than four different jurisdictions around our country. Two of those are in state proceedings. One of them is Manhattan. One of them is in Fulton County, Georgia. And then there are two federal cases pending. One of them is in Fort Pierce, which is the Southern District of Florida. That's the so-called documents case. It's being handled by Eileen Cannon. And then there is also the federal interference case, the election interference case. That's being held for Judge Tanya Chutkan, and she is a district court judge in Washington, D.C. It is a lot. It is a lot to keep track of. We're going to try to keep that track on track for you this afternoon as we discuss some of the important decisions that are being made by the judges in at least two of those cases. And let's begin with the Manhattan case. This is the case in which in May, a jury of 12 people gathered together in the criminal court in Manhattan called the Superior Court there in New York State, convicted the former president, Donald Trump, of 34 felony counts of falsifying records, basically fraud on the state of New York, making misrepresentations about the reasons for document entries, the reasons for financial transactions in that setting, basically to cover up hush money payments. Porn star, you know her name, it's Stormy Daniels, who had threatened to go public with her account of a sexual encounter way back in 2006. The state court judge who presided over that trial, you have followed that, you know that case well. The state court judge, again, continues to supervise that case, even in the wake of the jury verdict. Why? Because he's also responsible, as is any judge assigned responsibility for a criminal case, for then sentencing the defendant, imposing whatever judgment, whatever criminal judgment is appropriate under state law, federal law, under the circumstances of this case. And indeed, it is usual, although not absolutely required, that a state court judge, a federal court judge, in these instances where there is significance to the sentence, there's significance in the judgment, in the proceeding itself, that you wait to amass all the information you possibly can about the defendant before sentencing that defendant. It can be the case that a defendant could be sentenced immediately upon the return of a jury verdict, but in a case like this that is significant to the nation, significant certainly to Donald Trump himself as well, the judge appropriately ordered what's called a pre-sentence report that's being prepared and then set, and then initially set a date of July 11th for the imposition of sentence upon Donald Trump. You may recall that date 1 week before the RNC gathered in Milwaukee, Wisconsin for its convention at which it nominated Donald Trump to be its candidate for the presidency. In the interim, what happened was on July 1, the United States Supreme Court, shockingly, amazingly, decided that inside our Constitution, inside the laws of our nation, there is a concept called presidential immunity, executive immunity, that at least gives a presumption of immunity for virtually everything that a president would engage in while he or she one day is the president of the United States of America. And that so-called immunity decision issued again on July 1, the last decision by the Supreme Court of this term, that decision prompted an awful lot of litigation in all of those four cases, including the case already decided by a jury in New York. And specifically, the defendant, Donald Trump, through his attorneys, as they are appropriately assigned to do, an aggressive defense. That's what our system is all about. Putting the prosecution to the test, ensuring that the result, whatever it may be in the judgment, in the sentencing, is the product of this adversarial proceeding that we have grounded our nation on for a couple hundred years. And so they filed a motion and they said because of certain aspects of the trial, the immunity decision issued by the federal Supreme Court basically precluded the judge from going ahead and sentencing, maybe requiring that he turn back the judgment entirely and find that the case should either be retried or thrown out completely if indeed immunity applies across the board. That was the argument made by the defendant, Donald Trump, and his attorneys. And the judge said, you know what, I've got to give that argument some consideration. The prosecutor, his name is Alvin Bragg, came along and said, you know what, not opposing that request. Make certain you've got a complete record on this, judge. Go ahead and do what you need to do. And so the judge said, I will entertain that motion. I will decide whether or not what the federal Supreme Court has done makes a difference when it comes to my going ahead and sentencing Donald Trump for the conviction in the state court for those 34 felony counts. And so he was deliberating on that. And along the way, he also said, because of the need to deliberate that, I'm going to take that July 11th hearing date, the sentencing, off the calendar. Instead, set it for September 16th is the date that I'm going to announce my decision. This is Judge Juan Merchan. September 16th was going to be the date on which he would announce that decision, and then scheduled another date 48 hours later, September 18th. The intention, presumably, that on that date he would sentence Donald Trump. He would make the decision about what the judgment would be, and then the case could go on to appeal. Those were the two dates that until a couple of hours ago were in the calendar, on the docket of Judge Juan Merchan, presiding over this criminal matter in the state court, the state criminal court in New York. And then just a couple of hours ago, on this Friday, September 6th, the judge entered some additional orders. And he said basically that in the wake of his determination, while he is deliberating on all of this, he is further going to postpone the sentencing, postpone his consideration of all of this, and has sent two new dates. He has set November 12th for his decision on the immunity, whether or not the immunity decision of the Supreme Court applies to the state court. He's rescheduled that September 16th date for November 12th. And then he has also said that, assuming implicit in that argument, that scheduling is the notion that he will, in fact, go on to sentence Donald Trump. That sentencing now set for, yes, that's right, November 26th. November 26th, the sentencing of Donald Trump for the first time in American history, a former president convicted of felony counts in any court in America, state court, federal court. November 12th, the decision on the immunity coming out from Judge Juan Merchan. And then November 26th is the date on which the latest date, that is, on which the defendant will be sentenced, presumably. What's all this about? Well, again, Judge Juan Merchan, in late May, at the time that he received the verdict from the jury, was confronted, if you will, with a proposed set of jury instructions from the defense. And the defense attorneys were asking, this is a special case warning, special rules. The lawyers were arguing, and the first prosecution of a former American president was obviously an extraordinarily important case. They argued for something unusual, atypical in those jury instructions. And the judge at that time said something that's important to even today's news. He said this. He was unmoved by that argument at the time. He said, what you're asking me to do, he said, is change the law. And I'm not going to do that. And indeed, Judge Juan Merchan has throughout these proceedings consistently affirmed the notion that this defendant, while atypical, yes, he is a former president, yes, he's a present candidate for the presidency, should be treated like all other defendants in the American courts. Question today, whether that continues to happen, whether Donald Trump continues to get the benefit, if you will, of many of the delay proceedings and the strategies that he and his counsel have put together. But Juan Merchan, again, made the steadfast effort to try to preside over the case, as I believe he did. And most other people looking at this case felt strongly that in terms of evidentiary determinations, reading instructions to the jury, handling witnesses, making decisions about what comes in and what does not come in, all of that, this even-tempered, balanced judge. And along the way, determining whether or not then this September 18th date for sentencing should stay on the calendar. Today, just hours ago, that same fairly temperate judge said, no, because of the continuing pendency of this argument related to immunity, I've got to postpone all of this and postpone it significantly beyond Election Day. And what that means as a practical matter, of course, is that there will not be, as of a couple of hours ago, a sentence to look at as Americans go to the polls on November 5th. As we continue here on the Maggie Dawn Show, we'll talk more about the reasons why Judge Juan Merchan did what he did. We'll hear from him in particular, the words that he spoke, and then we'll talk about the consequences of that right here on the broadcast stations of Civic Media.
Keep on running, cause the winner don't quit on themselves.
This is the Shaw WAUK. Most of us can agree everyone deserves the right to make their own medical decisions. Politicians should have no say at all. Thankfully, we have leaders like Vice President Kamala Harris who are standing up for our rights to make our own medical decisions and protect abortion rights. As Vice President, Kamala Harris helped lead the administration's efforts to protect abortion rights after the Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade. Vice President Harris has worked to defend access to emergency medical care and support the ability to travel for reproductive care. She's fought for access to high-quality, affordable contraception and strengthened reproductive health privacy. Vice President Harris has defended our rights and freedoms against right-wing extremists who want the government to make medical decisions for us. She's a champion for our rights.
Visit www.abwt.org/Kamala and tell Vice President Harris, keep fighting for our freedom to make our own medical decisions. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Inc.
The Shaw, WAUK, Waukesha's home for Nightlight with Peach Waba.
If you see me walking down the street and I start to cry each time we meet,
is on the broadcast stations of Civic Media. We are talking this afternoon about this major news coming out of a Manhattan courtroom, a criminal courtroom, in the pen, the words of Judge Juan Merchan postponing the sentencing of Donald Trump, current candidate for the presidency, until November, which means once again that as you go to vote in November, you will not have the benefit, the information about the sentence imposed upon Donald Trump. The defendant in this case facing a possible term of imprisonment of up to 4 years, unlikely that the judge, whenever he imposes sentence, will impose a sentence at that level, but does have the prerogative, does have the capacity to sentence Donald Trump to all kinds of different things, including a term of imprisonment. Could be years, more likely, maybe weeks, months, could combine that with some probation, which is highly likely. Some other fines, a possibility as well. All kinds of things under New York law could happen. We will now await until late November, Thanksgiving time, just before Thanksgiving, to determine from this judge what the sentence imposed upon Donald Trump will be. We know that this comes, this decision comes, not only in the wake of the immunity decision and the wrestling with that decision by Judge Merchan, but also other attempts recently by Donald Trump to delay this sentencing. Recall a couple of weeks ago that Donald Trump had also asked Juan Merchan for at least the second, if not the third time, to recuse himself based upon some unfounded, non-fact-based allegations that Judge Merchan was biased, that his daughter was somehow involved in matters that implicated the judge and therefore produced prejudice or bias from the court. None of that founded in facts or the law. The judge, in fact, had gone to an independent commission to determine whether or not they felt, in their clear administrative judgment, he had to recuse himself. They came back and said, no, nothing about the allegations being made by the defense support your removal from this case. And so Juan Merchan has once, twice, three times said, no, I'm not recusing myself. We're not going to send all this back to square one. That was one effort. And the judge has recently decided on that once again. And more recently, again, the defendant, as is his capacity, he can file motions. That's a part of our system. But he also sought once again to remove the case, even after judgment, after the jury returned its verdict, finding Donald Trump guilty, felony counts, 34 of them, asked a federal judge to take the case over, remove it from state court into federal court, an extraordinary remedy. Difficult to imagine even how that would happen. In a 4-page decision just earlier this week, a federal judge, his name is Alvin Hellerstein, Federal District Court in Manhattan. Again, this is a federal court, not the state court in which Judge Merchan is presiding, said he could not evaluate Donald Trump's claims of bias, saying those were issues for the state courts. In other words, stay in state court, get those resolved. And indeed, Judge Merchan has done just that. But Judge Hellerstein, the district court, the federal district court judge, also said that Donald Trump's claims that he should have immunity from criminal prosecution based on that Supreme Court blockbuster, outrageous decision of July 1, that the implications of that case for this prosecution were groundless. He said that the merits of the petition to have the state conviction overthrown and thrown out were without basis. That's what the judge said. But most important, he said, the hush money payments that were the focus of that state criminal prosecution, this is the judge, the federal judge speaking, were private. They were unofficial acts. They were outside the bounds of any executive authority. And for that reason, too, he said, nothing here suggests, nothing requires that the federal court move in and take this case over. And so Donald Trump's request to move his state criminal case to federal court, that also denied just earlier this week, as defense counsel again attempts all of these different mechanisms to try to get the sentencing delayed. One of those now successful. And the reasons for it are significant. Judge Marchand simply didn't issue a docket order saying that, yes, we're going to reschedule this. He said that the unique time frame this matter currently finds itself in prompts this decision. He had previously planned again to hand down this decision on September 18th, just about 7 weeks before Election Day. But he went on to say that this is not a decision this court makes lightly, that is postponing the sentencing. He went on to say that it's a decision which, in the court's view, best advances the interests of justice. He said this matter is one that stands alone in a unique place in this nation's history. He appeared to skirt some of the partisan second-guessing and in partisan circles that the integrity of our judicial system demands that these matters go ahead, free from distraction or distortion. A delay, he wrote in his decision of just today, should dispel any suggestion that this court will have issued any decision, he's talking about his sentencing decision, or imposed sentence either to give an advantage to or create a disadvantage for any political party. The judge basically, again, skirting those partisan political challenges and the objections to what he has and has not done, saying, you know what, by delaying this, I am not going to be inviting. He'll still get it, but he's trying to avert the overt attempts to suggest that his decision to go ahead with a sentencing before the election was political in some way. It, of course, is a significant development in this case. It is plainly being greeted by Donald Trump and his defense counsel with approval, even though they went on to say that while the decision to postpone is the right one, nonetheless, still asking the judge, as is pending with him, to get rid of the case entirely, saying the immunity decision basically means you shouldn't proceed at all, and describing once again the prosecution itself as a hoax, a witch hunt, all those kinds of things, none of which is true. All of this, again, the result of a finding beyond a reasonable doubt by a grand jury initially, and then a jury here, that the defendant was in fact guilty of the offense conduct. The proceedings now delayed until November. Judge Marchand vowed to apply the rule of laws even-handedly in all this and said he will not be dragged into the political fray here, and for that reason wants to avoid any appearance of impropriety and will schedule and has scheduled and will conduct a hearing, a decision on November 12th. He's going to tell us what he's doing in this immunity decision. And then presumably, assuming that he is going to find, and almost certainly will, which is the subject of dispute and debate between the parties right now, but Judge Marchand will almost certainly find that the immunity decision does not prevent him from going ahead with sentencing, does not require that the entire judgment of the jury verdict be thrown out, the case be returned to where it was at the very beginning somehow and dismissed entirely. But he will then go ahead, presumably, and finally sentence Donald Trump on November 26th. And for that reason, major news coming out of New York today, in the wake of all of these proceedings, all of these things happening in the midst of all of this. All of this, of course, again, from the pen of a judge who has tried to maintain that, and has maintained, that his addressing of the issues in this case should be even-handed and without any appearance of political animus or animation. And that is indeed what he has done. Now, a lot of criticism certainly coming his way already from folks saying that he should have gone ahead. And if he is true to this allegation, this statement that he is treating all defendants the same, it is difficult to imagine another defendant getting this kind of consideration. But that is a decision of Juan Marchand, again, as this case proceeds. More about other cases involving Donald Trump as the Maggie Dawn Show continues here on the broadcast stations of Civic Media.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
So now that the kids are back in school, you might be wondering what they're eating when they're away. I'm Pam Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news for a Friday. Well, the school lunch program is definitely trying to do what they can to not only feed your children healthy food, but also locally produced food. Jen Kapanis is the food services director for the North Crawford School District, and she says trying to use local, though, can get a little tricky.
It's a little bit tricky with produce. I've used this example in the media before with Brussels sprouts. Our kids like roasted Brussels sprouts. If we buy them locally, then they're whole and unprocessed. So we need to be able to process those, clean them up, cut them in half, which is a lot of time. So with that, sometimes we choose not to buy locally because we can buy it, you know, from our prime vendor, and we can buy stuff ready to go. So we really have to look at time management for us when we're sourcing produce locally to see what's going to be the best fit for our kitchen.
That's Jen Kapanis. She is the director of food services for the North Crawford School District. She said parents have to understand every school district is equipped just a little differently when it comes to the amount of equipment that they've got available for processing of food or even scratch cooking.
On a dairy, decisions are never made in a vacuum. Your products, technologies, protocols, they're all connected. Or at least they should be. Introducing Empowered Dairy from Merck Animal Health, the only full solution portfolio in the dairy industry. Empower is more than just powerful identification, monitoring, and biopharma tools. It's about how they work together to eliminate guesswork and solve specific problems. Learn how at m-power-dairy.com.
All right, team, pay attention to this game film about Pioneer brand Plenish High Oleic soybeans. See here? When dairy farms grow Plenish soybeans for their cows,
they have lower overall feed costs.
Good eye, Jake.
And they maximize milk fat production.
So they increase the return on their investment.
Well, let that be a lesson to you. For lower feed costs and higher milk fat and dairy cows, what do we plant?
Pioneer brand Plenish High Oleic soybeans.
Learn more at pioneer.com/happycows.
And the National FFA Convention is just around the corner, back October 23rd through the 26th in Indianapolis, Indiana. 17 outstanding individuals have been recognized with the National FFA's VIP citation, and that includes two from Wisconsin, Michelle Stutton from Middleton and Mark Zeiden from Platteville are Wisconsin's two recipients for this year's VIP citations. Find more at MidwestFarmReport.com. There's your quick update on what's happening in food news for a Friday. I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at CivicMedia.us or the Civic Media app.
It is going to feel a little like fall here for a couple of days. Today, partly cloudy with a high in the mid-60s this afternoon. Tonight, mostly clear. We're going to drop down into the upper 30s to low 40s. Tomorrow, sunshine, mid to upper 60s, and then mostly sunny, back to the mid to upper 70s by Sunday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temp, 62.
Native American issues are human issues. Join Robert Pilot with Native Roots for their program Awake at their new time of Monday through Friday at 9 p.m. Awake is proudly sponsored by Wisconsin Community Health Representatives.
Hey, Wisconsin, it's construction season, and the Wisconsin DOT wants to help you safely navigate work zones. Check 511WI.gov or download the app for road work or closures on your route. Know before you go with 511 Wisconsin. Sponsored by the Wisconsin DOT.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Happy Labor Day to you. So there are companies out there who do value the worker, but there are a lot who still don't. And that's why I think it's so important to stop today and remember those who fought so hard and what this day is about. Yes, go out, have a beer, have a brat, enjoy it. But take a minute to pause, reflect, and say thanks to all those people who sacrificed for working people.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Jane Matinair returns to the big chair, and we are talking about the election because we are less than 2 months away, people. Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
The Maggie Dawn Show on the broadcast stations of Civic Media. My name is Jim Santel. I'm sitting in for Maggie this afternoon talking about this late-breaking news coming out of Manhattan. The judge Juan Merchan, he is the Superior Court judge who presided over that trial, the single time in American history that a former president went to trial, a finding by a jury way back in May that Donald Trump is in fact guilty, 34 different felony counts covering up the payments that he made to Stormy Daniels as a part of an election interference matter, even way back in 2016. Now, today, the judge further postpones, after having done it once before, arguably twice before, the sentencing in this case, initially scheduled it for July 11th, then moved it to September 16th, and now today moving it into late November entirely. Couple of observations about that, and then we're going to take some callers and some comments from you as well about what this is all about. The issue of whether or not the immunity decision applies to the New York prosecution should not be a difficult one. And I think Juan Merchan knows that. Maybe he's refining a multi-page order once again, but that is not a close question. In part because, as Chris from Milwaukee has identified for all of us, most of the events conduct that is the focus of that trial, the hush money payments, happened before Donald Trump was the president. No immunities could apply to him then. Many of these things happened in October of 2016. Yes, there were a few tendril things in 2017 that happened, but most of the conduct, the conspiracy, the concert between him and various players, including Michael Cohen, his fixer, all of that happened prior to his being a president. And so no executive immunity applies when you're not the executive. That should be an easy decision in this case. And yes, indeed, defense counsel arguing that there are a few tendrils that bring this into the scope of Donald Trump's term in office, which began in 2017. Some checks may have been signed during that period of time. Some testimony during the trial from people like Hope Hicks, also talking about conversations during the course of his presidency. But the upshot is, and Alvin Bragg is arguing this, and Juan Merchan knows this as well, that the immunity decision cannot prevent this case from going ahead. And the principles, although they're outrageous by the Supreme Court, entered on July 1, should not affect this prosecution. And for that reason, some criticism from me and from you, I suspect, as well, of Judge Juan Merchan. Get that order out there. Issue that order. It can be several paragraphs, could be several sentences, even though prior courts have issued decisions in the 50, 60 page length. This is not a difficult issue, even assuming the accuracy and the legal sufficiency of the Supreme Court opinion. It is a rescission of our Constitution, but even assuming it is the law of the land today, does not apply to this case. Juan Merchan knows that, should get this order out there, and should therefore have proceeded with the sentencing as it was scheduled. In addition, the delays themselves add to the perception in America that some people are not above the law. It is difficult in my own experience, to recall a situation. It does happen. Sentencings get delayed. But in my own 30 years of experience doing criminal prosecution in the federal courts, difficult to imagine that this kind of thing would happen routinely and did not happen routinely. Judges, federal judges, state court judges get upset when things are delayed. They want to move cases along. They've got lots of things on their dockets and they are animated to get things moving. Judge Merchan is no exception to that. And so there is, from me today, great surprise, disappointment, and dismay that this matter, which has been scheduled and rescheduled now, is once again postponed until November, not just because of the election, but that certainly is a principal piece of this. The American public should know what's happening in the wake of this prosecution and successful prosecution reaching a verdict. But it should also be noted that whatever the judge does, whether it was on September 18th or now November 26th, whatever that sentence is, it is not going to be executed right away. The judge would almost certainly, whenever he imposes sentence, would stay that decision pending appeal. And so it is not as if Donald Trump was going to be in jail, in prison on September 18th. That judgment, whatever Judge Merchan was going to make, would have been stayed pending appeals, which would have taken the case well into 2025, if not beyond, before it's finally resolved. And the execution of that sentence would go ahead. So no practical effect upon the custodial situation of Donald Trump that would have prevented him from campaigning, from doing other things in advance of the election. But simply the knowledge that this particular case is resolved and now on to appeal. And again, sending that all-important rule of law message to Americans that indeed justice delayed is justice denied. And that many defendants out there who are appropriately the subjects of speedy trial acts and legitimate constitutional requirements and mandates and requests for an expedited trial, an expedited disposition of their cases. This is something else. This is different treatment. And America should be concerned about this. Indeed, we've got an awful lot of criticism coming in for Judge Merchan right away. Certainly those folks on one side of the political aisle looking to this and approving of it, but others saying no, in an apolitical, nonpartisan approach, in a situation where every defendant should be treated the same, no one above the law. This defendant, once again, delayed in his disposition and the strategies of all of this seemingly working. And so we've got lots of comments, including Steve from Milwaukee. Steve, appreciate your comment as well, expressing great concern and even outrage about what is going on right now. And others likewise calling in. We know that this will be appropriately the subject of analysis as the campaign proceeds, and indeed good discussion in America as we determine who the next president of the United States of America will be on November 5th without the benefit of understanding what it is that particular defendant is facing in terms of his ultimate judgment. The judgment entered by a trial judge, Juan Merchan, that is not going to happen as a result of what has just happened today. Appreciate the comments coming in from all of you. Let's take some callers on this as well. We've got Mark from Wisconsin here. Mark's on the line. Mark, your thought or your concern about the news of the day.
Yeah, once again, as I've said in the past, I mean, the Federalist 69, Hamilton clearly points out that one would be amenable to personal punishment and disgrace. He's not the other. That would be sacred and inviolable. Donald Trump's duty as president was to faithfully uphold the law. He must faithfully uphold the law because under Article 2, Section 3, so he shall take care that the laws are faithfully executed. You know, it is just ridiculous to me that this needs to be delayed once again. The Supreme Court even made that decision on immunity in the first place, because Hamilton clearly points out in Federalist 81 that the Supreme Court there's not a syllable in the Constitution that explicitly gives them that power. For a strict constructionist court, what this court is supposed to be, it's disturbing to me that somebody like me, who is I'm not a legal scholar, I'm not a constitutional scholar, but I can read. And I know what statute says, and I know what some of the words in statute actually mean. And for them to pull this out of their hat, to say, well, the president's immune, what next? The president could, you know, Donald Trump could declare droit du sonneur and say, well, if I see a 16-year-old girl out there on the street, I can have her brought to me and use her, you know, for my relief. I mean,
and Mark, the implications of what you say are, again, exactly the criticism I've articulated others have as to that Supreme Court decision, right? It is very broad. It presumes that the things that a president does are immune. They are subject to rebuttal by the prosecution if it can show that it will have no impact upon the executive. There's absolute immunity for a president in connection with communications with his or her Justice Department. That is extraordinary. All those kinds of things. Reason for concern about that decision and reason for concern, again, about its applicability to these other cases pending. Appreciate very much, Mark, your observation today on our afternoon broadcast. Cam, also calling in from Appleton, some thoughts on an expedited sentencing and the movement of justice forward. Cam, thank you for your call.
Thank you for taking my call. I think I understand where you're coming from and what the law says specifically, because it's all like factual correctness. This is what it says. This is what it means. This is it should be straightforward, right?
It but should be, yes.
This guy, Trump, is not a normal case. Nothing about this is a normal case. A judge should not have people comfortably sending death threats. Like, no one should be receiving death threats as a sitting judge. That's insane. So I think that his decision to delay it is smart, not only for him and his family safety, but also for the election in general, because with the election, he doesn't need to muddy the waters further when we're going to have to deal with the fallout of all of his other cult members who have been working diligently on rigging other parts of the country. Like Georgia, for example, where they were trying to make it so they could override the will of the people. I don't think that adding this decision into it in September, as much as I would love to see him get some kind of comeuppance, is the good idea.
Good.
That's just my opinion.
Cameron, we so appreciate your opinion and a couple of important things to unpack there. Thank you so much for calling in, being a part of our broadcast. We know as well, as you just indicated, Cam, that in our courts today and in this judicial process, we now have judges, we've got prosecutors, we've got members of juries, we've got witnesses who are being threatened. And that is not only inappropriate, that's understating it dramatically. It is illegal. And there have been prosecutions of people calling in to judges and other members of our judicial system, making threats to them. Those kinds of things are illegal. They are criminal acts. They cannot be tolerated. They also undermine our rule of law system. So, Cam, very much appreciate your commenting on that. And then also the impact upon this sentencing, whenever it happens, on the population generally. You express a view that is a part of our system in America that looks at the news and determines what is best for America. That's what we're all about here in Civic Media. Appreciate your comment about the timing of this. There's no doubt that at some point Donald Trump will indeed be sentenced. There will be a judgment imposed. And as I said before, that judgment will almost certainly be stayed pending an appeal in this matter. But along the way, the implications, you're absolutely right, Cam, this is not a normal proceeding. And so we're wrestling, as is Judge Juan Merchan, and is the next judge we're going to talk about. Her name is Tanya Chutkan, with this dichotomy, this challenge, if you will, although it should not be that, between administering justice in the same way as it would be administered for any other defendant and recognizing that this is extraordinary, that we have not done this before. Use once again that overused word called unprecedented. We haven't done this before. And so, Cam, to the extent that your concerns are premised upon the impact of this upon an election and even the public reaction, hopefully not violent, but nonetheless, all those things appropriate for discussion and appropriate for exposition, not just here on this broadcast, but also in the American population generally, as we think about this atypical situation in American history. We'll be writing about this not only in the history books. Our grandchildren will be learning about this as we live it today. Cam, very much appreciate your comment, Mark, as well, and also other comments coming in on our text line. All of that important for the discussion as we digest and give some sense to what has happened today in Manhattan. Again, the movement of the sentencing of Donald Trump until after the election in November. And then we necessarily talk about what's going on in Washington, D.C. Let's begin to chat about what happened just yesterday in front of Judge Tanya Chutkan. She is the federal district court judge. Again, a federal judge, Juan Merchan, once again, a state court judge in Manhattan. Tanya Chutkan, a federal district court judge, a trial judge in Manhattan. And she made some determinations yesterday at a hearing that are also significant in understanding the future of the case pending in front of her. That's the federal election interference case. And as the Maggie Dawn Show continues, we'll talk about what she said, what she didn't say, and the implications of that, for the future of Donald Trump and for all of us here on the Maggie Dawn Show.
You're listening to the Shaw WAUK, Waukesha's home for Up North News Radio.
540 WAUK invites you to rock this Tuesday evening with another Tribute Tuesday concert at Frame Park. This month, it's a tribute to soon-to-be Rock and Roll Hall of Famers, Foreigner. Foreigner Forever pays tribute to one of rock's most iconic bands. The show starts at 7 p.m., so get there early to grab the best spots at Frame Park.
You're as cold as ice. You're willing to sacrifice our love.
There's food, drink, and fun from 7 till 9 this Tuesday at Frame Park.
I want to know what love is.
If you can't make it, listen to 540 WAUK as we broadcast the show live starting at 7 p.m. It's the final Tribute Tuesday of the summer with WAUK and the Waukesha Parks, Recreation, and Forestry Department.
The Shaw, WAUK.
This is the Maggie Dawn Show on the broadcast stations of Civic Media. My name, Jim Santel. I'm sitting in for Maggie today on this Friday, September 6th. Breaking news coming out of Washington, D.C., as well as New York City, here in the broadcast stations of Civic Media, along with my wonderful producer, Jess, taking your phone calls, your questions at 855-752-4842. You can also text us to be a part of our discussion as well. Turning now to Tanya Chutkan, that federal district court judge in Washington, D.C. She is presiding over and has been presiding over the criminal case against Donald Trump. This is the one involving federal election interference. Donald Trump, a singular defendant, four counts in that indictment, a superseding indictment, a new indictment just issued recently by another federal grand jury, retaining those four counts, but limiting the scope of that previous indictment based upon what? Based upon what the Supreme Court has done to restrict the prosecution, both in terms of this immunity ruling and also lots of evidentiary things. The Supreme Court said that prosecutors cannot do. Jack Smith, the prosecutor in that case, the special counsel appointed by the attorney general, returning through the grand jury process a new indictment, and that was at least in part the focus of a one-hour hearing yesterday in the Prettyman United States Courthouse there in Washington, D.C. That's where Judge Tanya Chutkan is presiding in this case. And what did she say yesterday when it comes to figuring out what she will now do after the Supreme Court has issued this major, this very significant, catastrophic decision constitutionally, but finding that a president is immune for certain things that he, one day she may do in office. She said that she would not let former President Donald Trump's campaign for the White House affect the schedule in her criminal case, in which once again he stands accused of plotting to overturn the 2020 election. At this hour-long hearing, during the course of it, lots of back and forth between her and counsel for the government and also counsel for the defense. But what should happen next? What is the status? What is the procedure? How should we manage this is the question that she is asking. And she said along the way that the November election was simply not relevant, her words, not relevant to the timing of how Donald Trump's case should unfold. Although she did not rule from the bench about how she intends to conduct the task now before her, that is to assimilate, if you will, the immunity decision into this prosecution. She did, during the course of the day, grant the request of the government to permit the government to present an opening brief later this month to defend the superseding indictment and to explain how it is that nothing about the immunity decision should prevent the prosecution of every aspect of that. And Jack Smith will present more of that during the course of his pleading coming up again to be filed later on this month. A lot of things going on there in Washington, D.C. as well. In making that request, the government indicated that it had new evidence as well. It's not currently a part of the indictment to include as a part of its presentation. All of this, a pretrial presentation to the court. And that schedule, of course, means that the evidence could become public knowledge before the election if Tanya Chutkan permits it to be so, if it's not under seal. And all of that being presented again by the prosecution to Judge Tanya Chutkan. Her saying yesterday that, yes, indeed, you can file your brief and I will take a look at it. Defense counsel, of course, will respond to that later in the fall. And then there'll be a reply opportunity as well. All of that focusing upon the immunity decision. Interestingly, a very different view from the defense, maintaining that the court should entertain all kinds of other motions and other petitions, including issues related to the election. And in particular, defense counsel saying that the timing of the motions and the memorandums is unfair. Said it's enormously prejudicial to President Trump. Couldn't imagine a more unfair procedure. That is the defense counsel on behalf of Donald Trump. Tanya Chutkan shooting back and saying there's nothing inherently unfair in it. It's just a matter of who goes first. A part of her, about of her, her process here to ensure that no one is above the law, as she has repeatedly said. What else happened during the course of that trial, of the presentation, the pretrial presentation just yesterday? Well, during the course of the back and forth, Judge Chutkan, pushing defense counsel on why he wanted to delay these discussions of immunity. He acknowledged he was concerned that some of the new information about Donald Trump the government wanted to include in these court papers could be made public at a sensitive time, as he said, meaning, of course, before the election. And that prompted once again Judge Chutkan to assert that she considered the timing of the election to be irrelevant, in her words. She said, it strikes me that what you're doing is trying to affect the presentation of evidence in this case so as not to impinge upon an election. That's the judge speaking to defense counsel. She said, that's not what I'm going to do. And the defense counsel also argued that the court should give up a factual debate about immunity and first consider various issues on a legal basis. And in particular, wanted to address issues related to Vice President Mike Pence, whether that immunity applies to him, and also address other issues. And of course, the counsel for the special counsel indicated that, yes, indeed, we'll address all of that in support of our petition that the indictment should indeed survive along the way. One of the most interesting exchanges. The defense counsel said he intends to file a motion claiming that the case should be thrown out because Jack Smith was not properly appointed as special counsel. That was the issue, of course. It was raised by Clarence Thomas in his sort of concurring dissent in the immunity decision. And again, you recall as well that Eileen Cannon used that same legal argument to dismiss the other federal case. That's the documents case in Florida. And Judge Chutkan said that she did not find any of that particularly persuasive, pointed out that there was binding precedent that special prosecutors are in fact lawfully appointed by the process and that federal courts were not going in an opposite direction. At one point, the defense counsel sought to defend his plans to challenge that appointment by arguing that Clarence Thomas had questioned how the special counsel had gotten his job and went on to say that Justice Thomas had actually directed Donald Trump's legal team to pursue the motion, prompting Judge Chutkan to say he directed you to do what? And then defense counsel pulled back on that. All of that happening yesterday in federal court. As that matter proceeds apace, more motions, no trial date in the federal election interference case. That pending still in the trial court before Tanya Chutkan in the wake of her motion hearing yesterday. More proceedings coming up in the future of that case as we talk about them more here on the broadcast stations of Civic Media, including this, the Maggie Dawn Show on Friday, September 6th.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK, Waukesha's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Dom Salvia, who joins me to talk about his new show here on Civic Media. And it's a bar band Friday night as Max Inc.'s Terry Barr brings new music and sparkling conversation.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8.
The bakers of Country Hearth and Village Hearth Breads are proud to support local education with Loaves for Learning, the program that makes it easy to earn money for your school. Enjoy Country Hearth and Village Hearth all-natural breads, buns, bagels, and more, then save the UPC from the package for your school to collect and redeem. Each is worth 5 cents and can be used for books, computers, sports, music, whatever your school needs, up to $10,000 a year. Learn more at loavesforlearning.com. Country Hearth and Village Hearth Breads, baking our best for you.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.